Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. Hey, Natty Nation, welcome to P4P Real Talk. This is Desiree, and hopefully soon we will have our partner in crime here, Kaylin Patterson, to join us. Hope you guys have been having a fantastic week so far. Granted, it's only Tuesday, but hopefully Monday was stellar. We have a fantastic show for you this evening. Of course, we think all of our shows are fantastic, so hope that you do too. But we have an awesome guest with us. He has been a competitor for quite a few years, and he is a very decorated competitor, placing in the top five in more competitions than I can even list, with several first place wins, also best guest poser, and the list goes on. And instead of me spending a lot of time introducing our guests, why don't I go ahead and turn it over to him? That looks like we're going to have a little delay here in him coming in. Josh, are you with us?
I'm here. Somehow I got disconnected somehow, so I just was able to call back in.
Awesome, because I was just talking you up and I was getting ready to turn it over to you, and then all of a sudden you weren't there.
Right.
Back, and we actually have a full house now because I hear Kaylin chuckling in the background too. So we got everyone here, and it's a party.
There we go.
I was just talking about, just your history, a little bit of your history as a competitor and just how rich it is. Why don't you give our audience a little bit more background about yourself and just how you got started competing as a bodybuilder?
Okay. I got started in wheelchair bodybuilding with the owner of the gym I used to train at since I was about 13 years old. But when I got out of high school a couple of years after I got out of high school, when I was about 22, the owner of the gym I trained at was telling me, him and another guy was telling me about wheelchair bodybuilding. I'm going, what? When? So, and that was down in West Palm Beach. That's how I got started back in 1994. And pretty much been doing it ever since. On and off, you know. But that's kind of how I got started with it, and so forth with that. So I did it from like 94 to 98. Then I got married. Then we wound up having a daughter. So I took some time off and then got back into it in 2004. Pretty much been doing it almost since 2004 again. Except last year I had to take the year off because I kind of injured my shoulder and so forth, so I took the entire year off from competing.
Okay, very good. And, you know, that's the one thing that I didn't throw out there is that you are a wheelchair competitor. And
right.
So, and that's not something that we always see a whole lot of. I know, you know, several of the federations have categories for wheelchair athletes, but we don't always see a lot of them. And frankly, I would love to see more because it's always anytime you see somebody on stage competing, I think it's an impressive sight. But I really love to see the full spectrum of athletes out there making the most of the sport, because bodybuilding is one of the few sports where, you know, regardless of maybe some of the challenges that different athletes have, you can still get up there and make an amazing showing.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I started when I started in 94 with the NPC, the Natural Physique Committee. And then I found out about the natural organizations through a friend of mine that is, of course, is no longer competing because MS has made him where he can't compete anymore, but he was actually the first person in the national organizations to earn his pro card in the IMBF. And that was back in 2011. So that's how I first even found out about national organizations adding wheelchair divisions. And so I kind of, for right now, compete in both organizations, the national organizations plus NPC, because I haven't earned my pro card. And I've been trying to get the word out that there is natural. So eventually somewhere between the NGA, OCB, you know, DFAC, we get enough people where there will be some natural wheelchair pros out there like there, you know, like back in 2011. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Wow. Well, hey, Josh, I'm really excited because I know you're one of the most upbeat individuals. And you found a way to bring that and translate it to stage. You know, is that just part of who you are, or is this something that you found when you found that freedom when you stepped on stage?
Well, I mean, I've always kind of been an outgoing type person, you know, because that's the strangest thing is that a lot of people think, and I've actually gone back and forth with a couple of people that actually have competed in wheelchair bodybuilding, never met the people, but we've gone back and forth on Facebook via, they don't think I should compete against them because I can stand limited with my disability. I'm not confined to a chair. I was born with cerebral palsy, and you got all these other people that are confined to chairs from motorcycle accidents, car accidents, breaking their neck, this and that. And I'm like, look, I've had to deal with my disability since the day I came into this world. I wasn't supposed to walk, talk, see, do this, mm-hmm. do that. You know, I mean, they told my parents, hey, he's not going to live past 19. Well, I'm going on 44. And so that tells me right there, the doctors don't know everything. God does. He ain't done. So until he's done with me, I guess I'm going to keep plugging. So
amen.
That's it. You know, that's unfortunately the sad part is there are some guys that I don't want to say they want the pity party, but I have gone back and forth with a couple people on Facebook saying, well, they don't think I should compete against them because they can't stand up and this and that. I'm like, I don't do my workout standing up. I sit in my chair and do exercises, or I transfer from a bench to from my chair to a bench or whatever. And so forth, I do exercises just like if I was confined to a chair. So, you know, I just try to be as upbeat as I can and try to get the crowds into it because I have done this for quite some time. And I go out there and it's like, look, we're out here to have a good time. Crowd doesn't seem like they're into it. Yeah, I kind of throw my hands up and I try to do something. I'll try to pop a wheelie or something and do a 360 or something and get the crowd into it or something. So I have done that a couple times. But, yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a tough sport, and it's definitely expensive.
Yeah, for sure. I think anybody who's been in it for any length of time understands that, but also well worth it. And you're right, it is supposed to be fun, and I like that you bring up the fact that, you know, regardless of the degree of your disability, when you're out there competing, I mean, pretty much everyone is on the same playing field. And so you had made reference that you do all of your workouts from your chair or transferring to a bench. But talk to us a little bit, you know, what is your workout routine or regimen like?
I do, you know, I try to switch it up to kind of, the good old saying goes, shock your muscles and so forth. So I might do chest one on a Monday or something, and you know, I'll do incline dumbbell presses. I don't really do much of decline because it seems like when I do decline, I kind of get a little lightheaded or something or dizzy. So I don't do direct decline, but there are machines out there now that still does a decline, but not so much that you're upside down. So I might do chest on Monday. I try to focus on one body part per day, supposedly, but I mean, granted, the other body parts are involved. like when you're doing chest, you're doing triceps, but I'll do chest. Mm-hmm. I try to do chest, then say shoulders, then back, then arms. But then sometimes I'll switch it up. I might do back and shoulders, you know, but I usually do Monday. I usually do Monday through Friday and take the weekends off and from weight training, but a lot of times I try to throw in what cardio I can with the gym that I do train at. I did finally find a place I can train at that actually has a hand cycle, because like I said, I can stand and walk limited, but I can't do a treadmill. I can't burn calories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing a treadmill, because I can't run, you know, I don't have the balance and so forth to run like people can on treadmills. So I finally found that LA Fitness, where I'm from, that actually has a somewhat of a hand cycle. I can wheel my wheelchair right up there and do it. And then they have punching bags, but that's the only form of cardio I got. And that's my gripe. And I, again, I'm not confined to a chair, but that's my fight for people like myself, for people that are confined to a chair, that gyms don't accommodate for people that can't do treadmills, stationary bikes. And if it was up to me, and if I had the income and the finances to do it, I'd open up an old backyard-type gym, but I'd make sure I was also accommodated for people that might be going through rehab, confined to a chair. But, you know, I don't know if and when that's going to happen, but that would be my ultimate goal and dream to do, on top of course, competing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, you bring up a very, very good topic. But there's one thing I'd like to go back, just to kind of segue backwards to that. And that's where you're saying, where, you know, the doctors had basically given their final say, but you're letting us know that that's not the final say when you know better, especially when you know yourself. And, you know, we do get a lot of obstacles in our lives, and we can either let someone tell us and direct us how we're going to live from then on, or how we're going to address it in a way that we can live with. And I think that's what you said. You know, you're challenging yourself to do that. And now I'm glad that you brought that up here, because that challenges basically the listeners, because I'm sure somebody has an idea that could be successful in that, in a gym format where people can be addressed and, you know, improve to the best that they know how, and maybe even better.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, everybody, I don't care, and that's the other thing that I've come to realize, or I feel like, is that you don't have to have a so-called physical disability, handicap, whatever you want to call it. Everybody has obstacles. I don't care what it is. I mean, it can be obstacles at work, situations at work, mm-hmm. home, whatever, and it is what you kind of, you try to handle it. I mean, like I was talking to Desiree Waite and everything about my daughter. I mean, my daughter's 16 years old, and we are, like, fighting like cats and dogs. But I'm like, you know what? I told her today, I said, look, you're stressing me out, but you know what? I'm not going to let you stress me out to where you make me feel like you're going to determine what my happiness is, because it ain't going to happen. You're gonna do the things that you're going to do, and I'm going to let you fall on your face. I'll be there to pick you up if you want, but if you want to say I got it, then you're going to figure out there's consequences for your actions, and if you choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, and then, like I said, it's everyday life. I even have a little plaque that I think my grandmother gave me for, I don't know, it's probably been 25 years, and I still have it, and it says for every 60 seconds you're angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. And I have to tell myself,
oh, wow,
every single day. Like I said, dealing with a 16-year-old daughter that thinks she's got it all figured out, and when I tell her to give me the keys to the car, she wants to, and I'm like, look, you wouldn't be driving a car if it wasn't for me. If it wasn't for me willing to get you a car that's got my name on it, you wouldn't be driving. And we go back and
mm-hmm.
forth on that. And it's like, look, I'm done. And then, of course, my happiness is, okay, I'm going to get unstressed. Bye, I'm going to the gym, see you. You know, that's how I release my stress. Real easy, you know. But yeah, so I mean, everybody's got their obstacles in everyday life. I mean, like right now, one of my other obstacles is finances in a sense. I've been getting ready for the Wheelchair Nationals down in West Palm March 19th, but I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to do it because of the finances. My income is pretty much the only income in right now. Been trying to get my wife on Social Security disability like I'm on because she had a stroke almost 2 years ago. But the old government is taking their sweet old time. So when it's only my income coming in, it's like, okay, how do I come up with the finances for hotel? Well, actually, that's the one thing I can say about the Wheelchair Nationals with MPC. The promoter, he does. If he gets, say, 10 wheelchair bodybuilders and they come everywhere from California to Nevada or whatever, he pays for the airfare, pays for the hotel, pays for the MPC. So those things are taken care of, but I still got to come up with gas money, money for food to eat, you know, other than the food that I do prepare for my meals and stuff. But I mean, after prejudging, it's like, well, you want a cheat meal or you want to go eat now that you're kind of done? You got to have money for that. So yeah, that's my obstacle right now. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Biggest thing is I'm going to continue to train for the next 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks, and see what happens.
There you go.
You know, so, and, you know, and then after that, there's a show here where I'm from. I mean, like I was telling Desiree, I live in a town called Orange Park, Florida, which is outside of Jacksonville, Florida. Because most of the time when I say Jacksonville, they're like, oh, I know where Jacksonville is. Orange Park, they're like, where's that? But there's a show that I'm thinking about trying to do in June. It's an OCB show. And I might do another show in Georgia. It's Ricky Howell's show.
Yeah, the DFAC.
Right. And but we'll just have to see. I mean, because, again, you're talking, even though it's quote-unquote local but not local, it's not like I'm going to Las Vegas. But if I do the one in Georgia, I still got to come up with gas money, this and that. So, you know, honestly, I don't know how much longer I've got in it. I'm thinking I've got a promoter. Actually, I guest posted a show a couple years ago, Conrad Reed, that puts on the Southern Cross in Ormond Beach, Florida. He's talking me into maybe trying to help him get some wheelchair guys from Wounded Warriors. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do, is help promote, you know, natural bodybuilding and maybe do a show here and there. But,
yeah,
because, I mean, I've done it from, you know, 94, 98, took time off, came back in 2004, competed basically from 2004 all the way through 14, and then took 2015 off, and then said, all right, I'm going to go back in 2016. I don't know. Who knows? I might be 90 years old. They might have to literally wheel me off stage. I might die on stage. I don't know. You never know.
I like that.
You never know. I might die as I'm doing a front double bicep. Who knows? I don't know. Never know.
No,
that's the truth.
And you know, it's
what's that?
It's actually pretty refreshing to hear this, because you know there are a lot of challenges to competing. I mean, and financial is just one of them, but through it all, giving all the things that you're facing, the I don't knows that you've been talking about, you're still pretty much focused on maintaining your training until, you know, you get to that point. You know, it's not a question of, I mean, because it doesn't seem like it's a question of am I or aren't I. It's I'm going to be ready, because if that opportunity is there, I'm going to take it. How do you maintain your motivation, especially when it's, you know, when you don't know?
You know, it's sometimes, honestly, I question myself on that. I'm like, because the thing is I train by myself. And if anybody knows that does train by themselves, they know where I'm coming from. If they, you know, I don't have anybody to train with. I mean, yeah, I could probably holler at somebody, say, hey, spot me, as far as having somebody to train with. So it's sometimes kind of hard to get motivated, you know. Go back to my daughter, for example. Here, my daughter was like, Darlene, I want a membership. So, of course, I signed her up at the place that I do have a membership at, but I actually don't train at as much because I don't really like it as much as LA Fitness. So I joined her there, and then, of course, the person that owned the franchise of Anytime Fitness was, like, telling me, well, she won't, you know, she's not going to work out because she's a teenager. And I was trying to say, well, my daughter's different. Well, I was wrong on that. Luckily, exactly. So, but luckily, she was nice enough to cancel that membership. But then, like, 6 months went by, and she's like, Daddy, I want you to join up at LA Fitness. I'm like, why? And then she says, well, the obvious. I said, well, what's the obvious? She says, well, I'm getting better shape and this, that. So, of course, what did I do? I said, okay, because I was going to join up there. Guess what? I've already had to put her membership on hold. And I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to give you one more month. You don't do it, it's done. I said, but, I mean, I was hoping that maybe every now and then if I could get her in there and say, okay, Chelsea, go ahead, spot me or whatever, you know, to where she can kind of kick me in gear sometimes. But I literally have to be my own motivation on the days that I don't want to go in there. But, I mean, again, I have to realize that, you know what, the good old saying goes, if I don't get in there, somebody else is in there training just as hard, if not harder. So I might as well get in there and do what I can do, you know. So that's kind of how I kind of stay motivated, even though, yeah, I'd love to train with somebody like I used to when I was growing up. I always had somebody to train with. But I don't know, mm-hmm. I guess as you get older, people are like, oh, you're too old to train with. Really? I didn't know that. I mean, most people look at me. I mean, the funny thing is most people look at me and they're like, they'll ask me, they're like, how old are you? I'm like, I don't know. How old do I look? And they'll be like, 30-something. I'm like, no, I'm 40, 43, going on 44. They're like, huh? I'm like, well, you know. So, because I once I hit 40, my good old saying was then, and it still is now, the 40 is the new 20, because I don't feel 40. I don't feel 43. You know, it's just a number.
I mean, and you don't look at it.
It's literally a number. I mean, now granted, there are some people out there 50, 60 years old that, you know, probably look and feel 50, 60 years old because they hadn't taken care of themselves. But the guy, mm-hmm. the guy that owned the gym that I trained at when I first got started, he still works out. And they got, granted, I don't know how old he is. And if there's from B. Desiree to any other women out there listening, no offense. But the good old saying goes, women lie about their age. Well, this particular owner, he's a guy. And I said, you lie like women, dude, as far as race. So I don't know how old he is, but I'm telling you, he looks like he's like, you know, he probably looks like he's maybe 80 years old, but I swear I think he's got to be 90 because my grandfather's 94 years old, 93, and I know they're pretty close to age, you know. But
wow.
This guy, up until he was 75, I know, or I say 75, of what I think was 75, he was still competing. And he was, like I said, he was one of the guys that get me started and told me about wheelchair bodybuilding. He, at 75, probably had a six-pack that most 20-year-olds wish they had.
Wow.
I mean,
that is impressive.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
And as a competitor, I'm not taking what you're saying lightly. You know what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, he was definitely old school when it came to eating his meals. He's to the point where he's like, man, I can't eat this last meal. You know what he'd do? He'd take his chicken. He would take his broccoli or whatever he was eating, rice, whatever, put it in a blender and drink it. I'm like,
oh,
nah, wow. And no way. No how. But
he
was
that's
that
hardcore
old,
right
he,
there.
He was that old school hardcore. I was like, no way, no how. But I loved his gym because if you wanted to work out inside, all fine and good. Wanted to work out outside, he had a setup where it was outside too. Even if it was pouring down rain here in Florida, he had it covered, weights were there, and it was old school type weights, your old type, you know, school dip bar, whole kind of, and that's what I miss, you know. And but he was, just to give you an idea who he is, he was actually the original boy in Tarzan. His name is Billy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, just
small
to give you
world.
An idea, go back and watch the original Tarzan. The boy in that movie, that's him. And he's
wow.
He's competed at Southern States here in you know, here in Fort Lauderdale, I mean, you know, in Florida, down in Fort Lauderdale, so forth. He's probably done over up until, like I said, I think he quit competing when I think he was about 75. He probably had 250 trophies. I mean, he's done everything for Southern States, you name it. I mean, you walk into his house, he thought he had a trophy. You know, he stole all these trophies that were coming around his trophy room. So, between him.
Yeah, that'd be motivation for me too. I mean, if you've got that kind of people around you, and it sounds like you're not afraid to enter a gym as long as you can get your workout in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's my thing. Is this? I have to. That's the only other reason why I'm kind of keeping my Anytime Fitness membership, because it's like, all right, if I didn't, for whatever reason, get up to LA Fitness before 11 o'clock, at least I can, you know, and I am a night person still at my, you know, 43, I could be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. I'm awake, I'm bored, all right, time to go hit the weights. You know, I'll go to the gym at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. I'll go at midnight. I don't care. My wife half the time will say, where are you going? I'm going to the gym. Or she's like, you want to the gym? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the gym. Or she'll say, what are you mad about? I don't know, I'm just frustrated. Well, go to the gym. All right, I'm going to go take it out on the weights. Whatever, you know.
There you go.
But, I mean, I'd love to see more guys and start in the national organizations too. I know Roy, I can't remember pronounce his last name. I know he's a sponsored athlete. For Petey, I know he did the.
Are you talking about Rory Coons?
Yeah, he. I know he did the Olympia, the natural
mm-hmm.
Olympia this year with a couple other guys, which I didn't even know there was. I mean, like I said, I only knew about natural organizations through a friend of mine, Rich Knapp, that told me about it with IMBF. But then, the more I was doing the research on the natural organizations, I was like, dang on, they've had, you know, wheelchair/physically challenged division for a while ago, and I'm like, I didn't even know it. If I would have known,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have started a lot sooner. But again,
you
I
know,
look at it as, you know, it's a reason.
I can second that, what you're saying, because all I knew when I had stepped into it was the enhanced realm, and you know, that's the reason why I didn't compete, is because it just didn't seem like it was anything out there for the people that really wanted to take the natural lifestyle. So, you know, I know exactly what you said. I feel like the late bloomer, the last guy into the room or whatever. But, you know, I'm just happy to find out that it exists.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, too, people get back to what I was talking about when I'm going back and forth with some people thinking that I shouldn't compete with them because they're confined to a chair and I'm not. I'm like, you know what? That's a catch-22 because guess what? I compete in the NPC, and I honestly, do I know for a fact? No, but I mean, I'm not. I've been around, like I said, I've been working out since I was 13 years old, so I've seen people's bodies, and you can kind of look at somebody and go, you know what? They can't be natural. So
yeah.
I feel like there's guys that I competed with at the NPC that are not natural, and I've gotten with Jim Mannion, which is the president of the NPC, and said, Jim, and the promoter, Frank Dalto, and said, look, why don't y'all drug test? They don't want drug tests. So I'm like, all right, well, see, I could cry wolf and say, well, I'm not competing against them because I think they're on steroids. But you know what? I love competing. Do I think I do? Mm-hmm. It's not fair? Yeah, but you know what? It is what it is. So
yeah.
You do what you can do and go from there. I mean, they're not going to change it. They're not going to change it. They're going to come up, well, it's too expensive. Yeah, it's probably expensive. I can imagine what it is. But, you know, I'd like a fair game, as much fair playing field as much as possible. But
well, I know if you do a Ricky show, you're going to be on a fair playing field.
His show is one of the shows, one of the first shows I did after the IMBF show I did in Ohio.
Okay.
I did his show in 2011, and I just haven't been back since. But I told him not too long ago, probably I messaged him on Facebook and said, look, I'm going to do every daggone thing I can to be at your show because I, just, even though it's been 5 years, I enjoyed his show. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he him and his wife made me feel welcome and everything else. You know, and again, I'm like everybody else out there. I mean, I would love to see more wheelchair competitors to where there are somebody that can say, other than Rich Knapp and then this other guy, Ethan, I can't remember his last name, but they're the only two people that I know of, quote unquote, that have earned their pro card as natural bodybuilders. But there's been none in the NGA, OCB, DFAC. I mean, I'm the only one that's ever done the DFAC finals twice, 2013, 2014. But it's like, and I love doing it. But again, I mean, you are ultimately competing against yourself, but I'm also competitive to where I want to have somebody else on stage to compete with. And there's only been one other guy since I started after the INBF, and this guy, Jerry Guerrero, he's the only other wheelchair bodybuilder that I've competed with in DFAC, because I've done DFAC, OCB, and I think those are the only two organizations so far. I'm thinking about seeing what NGA shows are, but that's about it.
So what
I think a lot of it is, has to deal with basically where it comes from the point of, you know, not knowing. And, you know, we have, I mean, we and Jed and I especially, you know, P4P Real Talk, but we're trying to get the word out about all the different divisions, all the different atmospheres, all the different backgrounds for the shows, because, you know, for some, it really is a whole new world. And, you know, sometimes we've been in it so long that we forget to promote it in a way that's like a reminder, you know. And I kick myself in the butt about this a lot. I mean, a lot, because I would always ask, well, why don't more people know? But then when I'm learning about it, I'm not sharing what I'm learning. Well, I wasn't sharing what I was learning. So, you know, I feel your pain on that one, really. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally, I mean, like I said, Conrad Reed, I'm going to get with him here soon. He's going to drive up from Orford Beach to Jacksonville. We're going to go to the local Wounded Warriors and see what we can do about getting these guys that are, you know, that fought for our country and sacrificed their life that, okay, now they've got one leg or, you know, amputated leg and whatever, but they use a wheelchair, to try to get them, because that's the only other way I know, at least where I'm from, because there's nobody else where I live, except one guy I've seen at an LA Fitness that's in a chair. Other than that, there's been nobody. And I mean, I'm always, you know, ever since I've friended you on Facebook, I'm sure you've seen me, you know, I say seen me, I haven't really posted a whole lot, but I try to say, hey, this show's got a wheelchair division. But I'm trying to get the word out, you know. And until you brought it to my attention about one thing I posted, I guess, a video that I didn't realize I didn't post it public, I need to start making sure, I don't care what's out there. I mean, what people see. I need to make it public so somebody in way out in somewhere in California, in a small town in California, oh, there's wheelchair bodybuilding? Really? Whatever. I don't care where you're from. I mean, I don't care. Because literally, I mean, there's only one person since I've been working out at LA Fitness where I'm from that I've seen another person in a wheelchair and then another guy that uses like a walker, but he uses a wheelchair. There's only been two. And usually most organizations want at least three, if not, actually I think it's OCB, wants five before they would even give a pro card. And I'm like, you know how hard it would be to get five people wheelchair? But to give you an idea how the wheelchair bodybuilding in the NPC has did at the very beginning, for the first 3 years, now just picture this on a stage. Whether it's a small stage, a high school stage, to an auditorium stage, picture 25 guys up on stage after they've done competed and they've brought everybody out. For the first 3 years, they didn't have at least 25 guys competing at the Wheelchair Nationals in West Palm Beach, Florida, for the first 3 years. 20-year reunion, or 20 years into it, 2013, there were six guys. Six. I'm like, how? How do we go from 25 to only six? You know, so it's like, And one of the guys that started competing in 2006 turns around and asked me, he texted me, and I didn't even know who it was because I must have deleted his number. And he comes back and says, what are you doing in the wheelchair now? So I said, I don't know. And he says, and I said, well, I said, even the year after I did Wheelchair Nationals 2013, the following year there was only, I think, three. I'm like, how do we go from six to three? And he's like, well, in 2013 and 2014, I wasn't helping promote it. And I'm like, what do you mean? I said, you're not even the promoter of the show. But he's a guy that does kind of have a big ego. And I'm just going to say I'm not going to name names. But, I mean, it's like, look, I said, before you came along in 2006, this show was going along since 1994. If it wasn't for the promoter of the Wheelchair Nationals in West Palm, I don't know if there would be wheelchair bodybuilding. I mean, probably, but not 20 years, you know, into it. But it's still young. It's still young in the national organization. So I feel like, okay, I'm still going to do the NPC until I either earn my pro guard or the Wheelchair Nationals, or, but then, like I said, Conrad Reed has brought it to my attention to maybe help promote it. And then and if that's what I'm supposed to do and never earn a quote-unquote pro card, then I guess I'm not supposed to. I don't know. You know, because, I mean, ultimately that's what I'd like to see. I mean, I don't need a card or a piece of paper that says I'm a pro because I have enough people from Ricky Howell to everybody else, which I don't want to say that's what I need. That's all I need is them tell me I'm already a pro because I've been doing it or whatever, just the way I do things or how I present myself. Okay, well, then I guess that's all I need. So maybe it's time for me to maybe do a show here and there, but then at the same time do what I can to get other people involved, at least in the national world, because,
yeah,
like I said, there's me, there's Rory, and there's this guy Jerry. That's it now because, like I said, Rich Knapp, he had to retire basically about as quick as he earned his card because he was born with MS, and his MS has gotten worse. So he had to basically retire. And then there was the other guy, Ethan. That's it. Other than that, I've only heard of Roy, and I think there was him and two other guys that competed at, what, the Olympia this year, the Natural Olympia? So,
yeah.
You know, so there's only three at, when I think Natural or I think Olympia, of course, I think Mr. Olympia, but now that I know there's Natural, I'm thinking, could you imagine there being at least 10 guys, that would be awesome. I mean, like, this year is the first year that they're actually going to have guys that earned their pro card in the NPC actually competing at the Arnold this year. And I think six guys got the invite, I think. And one of them, and that's the other reason why I'm looking, trying to do what I can to make it to the Wheelchair Nationals this year for two reasons. One, a good friend of mine that I competed with, he just recently passed away, what was it, the 19th of January, supposedly, and I say supposedly, talking to his parents, he might have died from a blood clot. And he was actually getting ready to compete at the Arnold. His dad took me into his room, showed me the stuff he just got via UPS from Arnold himself, his jacket, everything else. You know, so that was surreal. And then on top of it, the date of the Wheelchair Nationals will be 3 years since I lost my mom at the stage.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's another reason why I want to do it. You know, so, so everything's just kind of coming, you know, all these is just, you know, people say, well, I want to do this for this. Well, that's my reasons why I want to do the Wheelchair Nationals at least this year, even though I've done it 10, 12 times. But this time is that much more special to do it. Because I told his parents, because I drove up from where I live, which is about a 4.5-hour drive, to his house because they were doing a homecoming for him. And I told his parents, and I don't want to go against what I say. When I tell somebody something, I mean it, you know, unless,
yes,
of course, you know, life gets in the way and you can't do it. But I don't see that it's going to be totally out of the question, but like I said, finances is right now is what's holding it back. But I told mm-hmm. the parents, I said, I'm going to be there and do this in honor of, you know, and I'm sure you probably seen me post on it. The guy was in great shape. I mean, it just blew my mind that I was just like, I mean, I couldn't even believe the guy was already, I was like, what? So, so anyway, that's kind of where I'm at and where I want, why I want to do the Wheelchair Nationals. But again, I just enjoy mm-hmm. it. I love meeting people. People do not realize bodybuilding, I don't care. People say, you know, NPC, yeah, you got people that do NPC and they're not drug tested, so yeah, they're jacked up on this or that. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Bodybuilding, you meet the most unique people, and people don't realize it until you go there. Mm-hmm. Whether you're competing or whether you're just there to watch it, you meet the most unique people and can build some great friendships. I've built a lot of friendships from, via Facebook, whatever, from meeting them at shows first. You know, so.
And that's for sure. I mean, I would probably have to agree with you on that front. And, you know, you've got a lot of emotion, a lot of big goals that are set, and I definitely think you're going to reach them. And I guess, you know, I just come back to the question of how do you keep yourself motivated? And it really is an internal thing because, A, you are kind of in it on your own as far as a training partner. It seems like your field, when it should be growing, it keeps dwindling. So I think that's kind of passion to see it growing. What can the rest of the industry be doing to really help this segment? Is it more just education? Is it more show format? Or, you know, what is it that we can do to really help get the
you
word
know,
out and increase the numbers of wheelchair competitors?
You know, I honestly don't know 100% what would be the best thing, but I know that I, for myself, like I said, I went to Conrad Reed and said, hey, what would you think about me guest posting at your show to see what would happen? And then, of course, the following mm-hmm. year, he went to add the division, which was, I think it was last year, but, of course, I couldn't do it because I messed up my shoulder. I literally, this is what happened to me, is I have lifted so many times a weight off of a rack a million times since I've been using, you know, my chair and this and that, the same way thousands and thousands of times. This one particular day, I'm at a YMCA, you know, because I have a membership there via my insurance through my Social Security and all that. So I was working out of the Y, and I lifted up a 35-pound plate to put it on the bar because I was going to finish up with incline dumbbells or incline Smith machine chest press. Well, long story short, I had my Beat headphones, studio type headphones off, my music blasting. I went to reposition it in my lap and then set it back down. My shoulder kept going and I literally heard it and felt it pop through my headphones. I mean, it literally sounded like somebody blew up a balloon and it popped. And I was like, I stopped for a second, and then I kind of set the plate down on the ground, and then I went, you know, and then the pain kind of went away, so I was like, okay, it did what it did, and I was done. Lifted it back up, and my body went, ain't happening. So I put it up, and ever since then, I didn't work out for like 4 months. I kept going to my chiropractor, and thank goodness he said, just keep coming, and I didn't have to have surgery, but I was like, I can't. And then that's when I decided to do Conrad's show as far as guest pose. But every time I went to do a front double bicep, I felt my shoulder. Then I was dumb enough to go, okay, I'm going to do this show. I did a show in October. It was October 4th and did a show October 11th. Then did the DFAC finals in November. Then that's when my body and my brain finally connected and went, you ain't competing anymore. You got to take a break. So I took all last year off. So, you know, because I am stubborn like that. I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'll just work through it. Well, it almost cost me my shoulder and probably...
It's a blessing and a curse. It's
right,
a blessing
exactly.
and a curse.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I never, and honestly, I can't, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but honestly...
Toot it,
I
toot it.
Promotion. What I can say is, by the grace of God, up until that point, I'd never really had any injury in the gym. Never. That I can think of. For the exception, I take that back. Let me back up way back when I had my first back surgery. Because I've had, in, you know, 2003 was the last surgery I had. But up until that point, I've had everything from related to my CP. I've had hamstring lengthenings. I had a shunt and a tube put in my head when I was 3.5 weeks old. I've had like 20-some-odd surgeries in 43 years. But the very first back surgery I had, a month after I had it done, I told my dad, I'm ready to get back in the gym. And
wow.
he was like, okay. My stepmom was sitting there telling me, no, you don't let him go back. So I decided I want to go back in the gym. Started to try to do a bench press, 225, like as if I was doing it 2 days before. Dumb idea.
Ooh.
Because I used to always preach to people in high school, do not arch your back. Do not arch your back. I must arch my back just enough. And my incision busted wide open, and it sounded like I was taking a piece of paper and ripping it in half. And that was when I was 18 years old. My dad had to drive me back down to Gainesville, Florida, where I had the surgery done. The doctor took a little Q-tip, put some peroxide on it, stuck it in that little spot where it was incisioned wide open. Ain't never seen an 18-year-old cry so hard in his life. I was like, and at that point, so when I had the next back surgery, I looked at the doctor and said, you tell me when I'm ready to go back. But those are the only two times, as far as my shoulder and that, it's the only two times that I think I've ever injured myself. But I was like, that was not too smart. So, I mean, I'm still going at it. But, again, I'm trying to be smart and only pick a show here or there, because I think it was 2013, when I sent you the shows I've done, Kaylin, I think I did 6 shows that year. When I say how I did it, I don't know. The only way I know how I did it is God opened up the doors and he gave me the strength to do it, because I still sit back and go, how did I do 6 shows in 1 year and not die?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I was just, you know, so now that's the most I've ever done is 6 shows in a year. I was like, never again, unless, of course, again, God opens up the doors and says, no, you're going to do 6 shows, okay? As long as it's for you and for your glory, that's it, you know, because when I first started, I did do it for me. But God kind of kept pressing on me and saying, you know what? You need to realize I gave this platform from the get-go for my glory, not yours. So that's what I tried to do, is do it. You know, I do it for him. I mean, I've done everything. You know, I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. And I want to say Diane's husband did the music, but I'm going to use the song by...
You're talking about Mishay.
Yeah, I want to say the song that he used, I think it's by a group called Bethnal or something. I'm going to use that song as my posing music at the Wheelchair Nationals if I do that, wind up doing that show. I mean, but I've done everything from Shake Heaven by Montel Jordan. You know, I mean, I used to do, looking back at it, and I'm not trying to tell people, well, you do this music, it's wrong to do this as opposed to music versus what I use. Because I used to use AC/DC. I mean, you know, some of the AC/DC songs or whatever. But I try to use songs that are going to not only still give a message, of a positive message, but again, knowing that people know where my heart is, and that's for God. It's not about, ooh, look at me kind of thing. I don't like, I mean, I like the spotlight, but I don't. I mean, if somebody said, hey, we want to, I was even hesitant to do this show. You can't see me. I can't see you. But it was kind of like, I don't want people to have the misconception of me. I don't want mm-hmm. them to think I got this big ego. That's the thing. I like getting on stage. I want to get on stage. Yeah, I'll talk to people. I love talking to people, but I don't want to be, give me 30 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. So since probably, I'd say, 2011 to 12 is when I started using a lot of, you know, I guess people say Christian songs or whatever as my posts and music. Because, I mean, I've used everything from Rocky, you know, Eye of the Tiger. I was a big Stone Cold Steve Austin fan in WWE.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know, I used his broken glass music as closing routine 1 year. And like I said, I've used AC/DC. I've used Van Halen.
Not Hell's Bells.
You know, yeah, I did Hell's Bells, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
So, well, you definitely did
a 180.
Oh, yeah, I've done a total 180. I mean, you name it, I've done it. I mean, you know, but again, it's fun. It's fun, and the biggest thing is, and I question myself every single day going, okay. I mean, especially lately, like I said, me and my daughter have been going, oh, my goodness, back and forth so much, and I'm literally like, okay, seriously, God, is this a test that you're really trying to give me an ultimate pass or fail? Because right now I really feel like I'm failing. And, you know, but God just, he's getting me through it.
Yes.
You know, but sometimes I'm like, I literally question my Christianity sometimes, because I'm telling
you. It's the only time we grow is when we're put under stress.
I mean, because I tell you, lately, from everything that's going on in this crazy world and social media and everything else, I'm just like, I'm about ready to take a break from social media because I'm getting tired of the negativity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, then
so
bring
I'd
the
rather, you know, that's what I'd rather do is bring the positive. So,
yes. And you did.
You know.
And you did. And you're going to get a chance to bring some real good positive because, you know, the show's coming to an end. And I want you to give a shout-out to just everything that you know is positive. And this is your time to actually, the stage is about to come in. You know, the expedite is lining us up. And it's time to hit the stage and your time to speak, you know, positive energy into this world. And then we'll let Dez bring it home.
Yeah. Well, you know, for one, I want to thank you and Dez for bringing me on to the show. It's been such an honor. And, of course, for P4P for sponsoring me, you know, I threw it out there to them to say, hey, you know what? Because I didn't know that they had even any wheelchair athletes as sponsored athletes, and I just took a shot in the dark, and then Jim contacted me, and I can't thank them enough. All the people that have been, you know, behind me, from Conrad Reed to Bill Mora, which is another promoter that's been behind wheelchair bodybuilding, you know, just everybody. And the biggest thing is we just keep striving and doing what we can do and make the best of what we got and keep helping each other and building each other up. It's the best thing I can say.
All right.
And that's a plenty. So we just want to thank you so much, Josh, for joining us. I mean, it's really been an eye-opener on a lot of fronts. And so,
yes.
You know what?
Thank
we just
you,
want to wish you the best of luck and definitely keep us posted because I know you are going to compete in that show. So I'm just looking forward to hear how you do.
Well, I will definitely keep you guys posted on how everything goes and definitely have my feet stuff on, my hat at least, for as long as I can have it on unless my spray, you know, the spray can wears it off, but I'll have my shirt and everything, support my P4P, and I will definitely keep you guys posted and let you know.
You do that. And don't worry, your daughter's going to mellow out. Don't you worry. It gets better.
I hope so, because I tell you what. There's
you
real times lately. I'm going to tell you that. I will tell you that. There's sometimes it got to the point where I'm just like, you know what, if I, and I mean, this this is serious, but not serious. This is a joking way. But I'm like, if I had the way to trade my daughter for a dog I have, because at least my dog seems to listen to me a lot better than people. I'm just telling you straight up. I mean, people say, hey, I'd rather have a dog and train a dog than a human. And I'm like, you know what? I would too, because at least they don't back talk me. But I don't know. Sometimes my dog does. She'll sit there and talk to me. I'm like, what? And then it's like, that's her sign saying, I want to go outside. It's like, oh, okay. But that's about as far as I get.
We'll say a prayer for you too.
Right, that'll work.
You have a great night.
You too. I appreciate it again. Y'all have a great night, and God bless you guys.
God bless you too, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I tell you what, though, those teenage years.
I'll tell
special.
You what.
I can feel them on that one. For sure.
That's real talk right there.
Well, that is some real talk. And I think we have just a little bit of time yet for some real talk on P4P supplements during our supplement overview. What do you got for us tonight?
Okay, tonight in our supplement P4P supplement spotlight section, we're going to talk about the proteins. And if people don't know what my favorite is right now, I don't know what to say because I – anywho.
It's vanilla.
My first one, right? Yes, I'm going to tell her. It's snickerdoodle now. But the first one I ever had from P4P was the one that I was getting all the results from was from the chocolate. I really didn't care for the vanilla because I never have. It's not that it was bad tasting. It's just not something I've ever cared for in any protein. And the chocolate, but, you know, like that was basically the P4P protein was the one that basically set the foundation that these guys are legit because I was seeing the results, and that's what a little bit what JMB? Yeah, there we go. I'm trying to remember her initials. My goodness. And she and I had talked about the difference because of the lack of fillers. And I was really impressed because I didn't have to take half as much stuff to get, you know, better results because my body didn't have to filter all that crap out of the system before I could start seeing it. So the protein, I was like, well, what's the deal? Why, well, you know, what's so special about this? And he said because they weren't cutting it up. They weren't cutting up the product and basically filling it with side fillers to basically get the weight to send out and ship